Welcome to Radioactive Theater, presenting quality dramas for our listening audience. This program is supported in part by grants from 32 cultural councils, local agencies, which are supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. This program features funny couples. First, the Bickersons, who from 1946 to 1951 spent nearly all their time in relentless verbal war, and Fibber McGee and Molly in the fictional Midwestern city of Wistful Vista. Fibber was a teller of tall tales and a braggart, usually to the exasperation of his long-suffering wife, Molly. It ran from 1935 until 1955, one of the most popular and enduring radio series of its time. And finally, I'm Herbert, from the Broadway play You Know I Can't Hear You When the Water's Running. Our Radioactive Theater ensemble includes Holly Miller, Mike Gregory, Lorraine Mason, Jeff Van Amberg, Julie Stanbrovich, Catherine Thornton, and George Blomquist, Norman Micklejohn, and Jane Grady. First, enjoy the Bickersons in The Tax Refund and John's Operation.
This is worse than ever, Dr. Hershey. Can you come over?
Mrs. Bickerson, it's almost 3 o'clock. His condition is pretty good. I'll come over in the morning.
But he might recover by morning. I wouldn't want that to happen.
What?
Wait a minute. I'll carry the phone into the bedroom and you can hear what John's going through. Hear that?
I can't hear your husband on account of those fire engines.
That's my husband.
Oh, what? Oh, incredible. Tell him to do that again.
I don't have to. He will.
Mrs. Bickerson, there's only one thing.
Just a minute, doctor. Wait till I get the phone out of the room. Now, what were you saying?
Well, it's definitely post-gluvarial condition, and that roaring indicates he's a mouth breather.
Maybe, but John isn't breathing through his mouth.
What makes you so sure?
I taped it shut with plaster.
Oh, that isn't wise, Mrs. Bickerson. I'd rather you tape his nostrils. It's less dangerous.
I tried that last night. I think my husband snores through his pores. I'd give anything if you could cure him.
There's only one course of treatment, but it's very expensive. It'll be $200 down and $25 a month for 11 months, plus charges for extras.
Sounds like buying a new car.
I am. Good night, Mrs. Bickerson.
Good night, Dr. Hershey. Oh, maybe John's quiet now. John, turn over on your side. Go on. John, stop making that silly noise. Got the adhesive tape.
Ow! What's the matter with you, Blanche? Who taped up my mouth?
I put it on to stop you from snoring.
Oh, I never heard of such a thing. You had to go and tape up my mouth just when I'm raising a mustache. Pull out every hair.
That's too bad. You've caused me enough suffering. I'd rather lose your mustache than lose my sleep.
What's the matter with you, Blanche? What's the matter?
I just can't stand it anymore, John. Night after night, I walk the floors and get into a state because you snore and brawl and snore and whine like a bulldozer. Is it any wonder I'm so irritable and ill-tempered? If Dr. Hershey won't encourage me and try to improve my nature and buoy me up, who will help me?
Nature boy.
Very funny. You're so funny, John.
I'm not funny.
And what about me? I haven't slept for so long, I'm a nervous wreck. I bury my head under the pillows to shut up your snoring. And when I get up every morning, I have a cramp in my collarbone.
Ugh, rub it with chicken fat.
Rub it with chicken fat. You and your stupid remedies. Huh. What do you care what I go through?
Blanche, put out the light.
I will not. How would you like to go through life with a constant pain in the neck?
Well, I took you for better or worse. Yet to come.
That's right. Pile it on. Tell people I forced you into this marriage. Did I ever run after you?
Blanche, I want to sleep.
I did everything to deserve you, and you know it. Did I accept you the first time you proposed?
No.
Why not?
Because you weren't there.
Go on. You wouldn't have the nerve to propose to anybody else. You sure took advantage of my innocence and youth.
No, don't give me that stuff. You were no spring chicken.
I must have been, or I would never have picked up a worm like you.
Why don't you go to sleep?
It's a different story now, isn't it? Never a kind word, never a sign of affection, never a good night kiss. And to think, you used to kiss me every time I turned around.
I never kissed you when you turned around.
I've been a trusting fool all these years. I should have known you don't love me. You never did.
I did too. I mean, I do too.
You don't. You don't. You don't.
Oh, Blanche, I love you.
You're lying. Swear you love me.
I hope I drown in a pool of bourbon if I'm lying.
There's the answer to all our problems. You think more of a bottle of bourbon than you do of me. It's true, isn't it, John?
What's true?
You're in love with a bottle of bourbon.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Go on, say it. I can stand the truth. Just give it to me straight.
Well, it's better with soda.
Don't try and switch things around. You know you indulge in it more than what is absolutely necessary. No other wife would put up with a thing like that.
Now, just a minute, Blanche. I resent that.
I don't care.
Well, you can accuse me of being selfish or inconsiderate or anything else, but drinking is not one of my failures.
No, it's one of your few successes.
That's not true. I don't drink more than any 6 men you know.
Huh?
Now, you cracked me into that. The only reason I use bourbon is because the doctor prescribed it. He said I would stop snoring if I took a jigger of bourbon and 2 aspirin before I went to bed tonight.
That's not what you do, though.
It is.
It is not. You're 6 months behind on the aspirin and 2 years ahead on the bourbon.
Well, the aspirin gives me a headache.
You better listen to me, John. We'd get along beautifully if you'd think of me once in a while. If there's an extra dollar in the house, it goes for your pleasure. Only 2 weeks ago, you had your life insured for $10,000.
What about it?
You're always thinking of yourself.
Myself? Now, what kind of idiotic talk is that, Blanche? If I die, you get the $10,000.
You know perfectly well you have no intention of dying. You only got your life insured to tantalize me.
I'll drop dead in the morning.
You say it, but you won't do it.
Blanche, what's the matter with you? Do you realize what you're saying?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. Just calm down. Try to get some sleep.
I can't sleep. I'm too upset. You can't stand the sight of me, can you, John?
I can stand it fine.
I'd like to hear you talk that way to Gloria Gooseby.
Now, don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
Anybody could be pretty with the money she spends on clothes. Every time her husband wants a kiss, he has to buy her a dress. Believe me, you're lucky you've got a cheap wife like me. If you were married to Gloria Gooseby, you'd have to pay for her kisses.
I'm not married to her, and I get them for nothing. And I hate Gloria Gooseby. I'm warning you, Blanche. If I ever hear you mention her name again, I'll...
That's right. Hit me. You've done everything else.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Blanche, will you please put out the light? I have to get up so early in the morning. Now, good night.
Are you angry, John?
No, I'm just sick.
Do you hate me?
You know I do.
No,
I mean, I don't hate you, Blanche. What's the matter with you tonight? What have you done?
I've been so upset. I forgot to give you something. It came for you yesterday.
A letter?
Special delivery and registered. It was addressed to you and marked strictly personal and private.
Oh, what did it say?
You needn't be so snide about it, John. I wouldn't have read it, but I accidentally steamed it over when I was pouring myself a cup of tea.
Yeah, let me see it.
You can read it in the morning. Go to sleep.
I want to read it right now. Put the lights on and give it to me.
Oh, all right. Here it is.
Oh, from the government.
Good night, John.
Mr. John Bickerson, sir, in checking your return for 1946, we find you have overpaid your taxes. Enclosed, find a check for $76.50. Well, say, what a break. I finally, Blanche. Where's the check? Oh, don't act sleepy now. What did you do with my $76?
I bought a beautiful Evan handbag. It's shark skin, trimmed with snake skin, and it matches my calfskin shoes.
$76 for a shark skin snake? Take it back. Take it back. Do you hear me?
Stop screaming.
How could you squander my hard-earned money like this? I deny myself everything. I've been cutting the straps off your old garter belts and wearing them for bow ties. I had my feet hand-soled in a blacksmith just to save on shoes. I don't even drink my bourbon anymore. I just lick the label and stick my nose in the bottle. I don't spend a nickel my own myself.
You bought a watch chain yesterday.
What watch chain? The zipper came off my pants. Now, you get that money back. Do you hear me?
How can you do that, John? You didn't buy me anything for our anniversary. Can I keep it, please?
No.
Please?
Oh, what's the use?
Can I keep the bag, John?
How I slave and sweat to bring money and soul together. Deprive myself of every tiny luxury to try to make both ends meet. It isn't worth it. One fatal swoop and she squanders 2 years' savings. What's a man got to live for? I wish I had the courage to... Maybe I will. Life means nothing anymore. It's one thing to do.
John? Oh, John.
Bickerson's and John's operation. After 7 years of cycloid insomnia or Slugger's disease, John Bickerson had finally consented to allow Dr. Hershey to relieve his condition. In room 113 at the General Hospital, Mrs. Bickerson watches anxiously as a surgical nurse ministers to poor John, who is suffering an attack the night before the operation. Listen.
It's like being married to a steam shovel, nurse.
Dr. Hershey's waiting for you in the corridor, Mrs. Bickerson.
Oh, hello, doctor.
Is he resting? I gave him a sedative that'll quiet him down.
Well, he isn't very quiet.
Oh, well, actually, I could have done the operation in my office. It's so trivial. He won't be in surgery over 15 minutes, and there's absolutely no danger whatever.
Will it hurt him?
Not the slightest. All we do is take a stitch in his palate and shorten his uvula.
I hate to bring this up now, Dr. Hershey, but how much will it cost?
The fee will be $50 with the anesthetic.
How much is it without the anesthetic?
Oh, I should say about $40.
Would there be any discomfort if he didn't have the anesthetic?
Not for me, there wouldn't. But I wouldn't advise the operation without it.
And you're sure he'll be cured when you're through?
Oh, practically certain. Well, it's almost midnight now. I'll do his case first, about 7. He just needs a good night's rest.
Well, I'll just stay a little longer.
Good night. Call the floor nurse if you need anything.
Oh, I will. I hope that pill's quieted him down. I'm sure that isn't doing him any good. Hear that? John. John, wake up!
What's the matter, Blanche? What's the matter, huh? I put the cat out. I locked the windows. I left the note for the milkman, and I hung up.
John, we're in the hospital.
What for? Is somebody sick?
No, you're going to have an operation. Dr. Hershey's going to shorten your uvula in the morning.
Well, then what did you wake me up for?
Well, you were snoring, and I was afraid you'd wear it off before you got a chance to operate. You've been snoring steadily for 3 hours. Don't you suppose I want to sleep, too?
You're not sleeping here, are you?
Yes, I am. It cost another $5 to put another cart in the room, and I intend to use it. Where's my nightgown?
I can't get one night's sleep, even in the hospital.
I don't understand why you have to have an operation to cure your snoring.
I didn't want it. You've been working on me for 7 years to do it.
I'm beginning to think it was a waste of money. I could have used that $40. I'm still walking around in a short dress.
What are you beeping about? Tomorrow I'll be walking around with a short uvula.
Oh, don't be so crabby.
I'm not crabby. I'm sleepy. Why don't you stop fiddling with that mirror and put out the lights?
I have to get undressed, don't I?
Well, take your dress off. Why are you plucking your eyebrows at this time of night?
I'm not plucking my eyebrows. I'm taking off my false eyelashes.
False eyelashes? I didn't know you had bald eyelids.
My eyelids are not bald. It's just my lashes are short, and they don't bring out my eyes. Lots of women use false eyelashes.
Well, throw them away. You don't need anything to bring out your eyes.
Really?
Really. I'm satisfied with the way they bulge now.
What kind of remark is that?
Oh, hurry up, Blanche. I'm groggy. Blanche, what on earth are you taking out of your hair?
It's a rat.
A what?
A roll of false hair. I have to wear it for the new hairstyles. My own hair is too thin with a pompadour. Darn it, I can't get out of this dress.
Blanche, what are those things?
Don't be so silly. Haven't you ever seen shoulder pads before?
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing. Your eyelashes are on the dresser, your hair is in the drawer, and your shoulders are on the chairs.
What about it?
That's you all over, Blanche. No one can think of more ways to spend money. Are you ready for bed now?
Yes, dear, I'm ready for bed. Shall I crank yours up a little?
No. Put out the lights.
I wanted to glance at the paper first. You go to sleep.
I can't sleep with the lights on. I left my sleep shade at home.
Well, I won't be a minute.
Oh, no one will believe this. In 6 hours, they're going to carve me to pieces, and I'm supposed to rest, and here I'm...
Shh, I can't concentrate with you mumbling. There's certainly a lot of activity in Washington. What's all this tax reduction talk?
It's talk.
Listen to what...
Blanche, I read the paper. Every word of it. Read it to yourself.
Don't be so disagreeable. Dr. Hershey told me to keep you occupied so you wouldn't think about the operation.
All I'm thinking about is sleep.
That's a good boy. You mustn't get nervous.
No.
I see the stock market is going up.
That's fine.
We have some stocks, don't we? Didn't you get some stocks last year?
10 shares. Kentucky Saltpeter Mines. Preferred stock.
My brother got you on the ground floor, didn't he? Where's it now?
In the ground.
I can't even find it listed on the stock page.
Well, look in the help wanted column.
Are you getting relaxed, dear?
No. Now I'm starting to get nervous.
I'm worried about you, John. If anything happens to you on the operating table, it would be my fault. So you know what I think?
Well, sneak out, huh?
No, I think you should make out a will.
Make out a will? I thought you were worried about me.
Well, you don't want to leave me at the mercies of those grasping relatives of yours, do you? The minute you drop dead, they'll...
Don't talk like that. Can't you say pass on or something like that?
Well, you always say drop dead.
No, that's only when I'm talking to your brother. You could be a little more delicate when you're discussing wills.
Why?
because you make it sound like I'm going to go any minute.
Well, they don't give you 2 weeks' notice, you know. Every man should make out a will.
Okay, I'll make it out tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Get up. Do it right now.
What?
Go on. Get up and make out a will.
Why, you're out of your mind. In the first place, a will isn't legal unless you have two witnesses. And in the second place, I haven't got anything to leave in the first place. Nobody's going to take anything, and I don't need a will.
You're the most stubborn man that ever lived, John.
Why? Why am I stubborn?
It's the hardest thing in the world to make you admit I'm right when you know I'm wrong.
There's a woman's logic for you. Suppose I do make out a will, and nobody can touch anything besides you. Okay, so now you know you've got all my worldly goods. First thing you know, you'll get over your grief and marry a guy without a dollar to his name, like that broken-down snore specialist, Dr. Hershey.
Oh, I'm not going to marry anybody.
Oh, yeah, he'll give up his practice and take you for every penny, my hard-earned money. He'll drive around my brand-new car, drink my bourbon, loaf around like the French, never do a day's work. Why don't you make the bum get a job, Blanche?
Enough screaming like that. Hush up. Go to bed.
Go to sleep, she tells me. I'm a nervous wreck. She practically talks me into a funeral, marries the doctor behind my back, and now she tells me to go to sleep. I'll never go to sleep. Another wink as long as I can.
John, the telephone. The telephone, answer it.
No. Who the dickens is calling? Who moved the phone, Blanche?
What'd you get up for? It's right on the night table by your bed.
Oh, I thought I was, hello?
Mrs. Reins, this is the maternity nurse. You can get ready now. I'm bringing your baby in.
What? Blanche, how long have I been here?
Isn't this room 413?
I don't know what this is, but I'm not feeding any babies. Oh, what a way to run a hospital.
It's just a mistake, John.
No, I shouldn't have fallen for this operation, Dale. I could be so comfortable at home in my bed. One of us should have stayed there.
What for?
How do you know a prowler won't break in? I left a whole bottle of bourbon on the dresser.
Nobody will break in. The turkey would gobble and scare him away.
The turkey would gobble? I can just see... A turkey? What turkey?
Well, I was going to surprise you. I won a turkey in a raffle, John.
You've got a live turkey running around the house?
He isn't running around. I've got him tied on your bed.
On my bed? What'd you do that for? I'll have the whole thing full of feathers. What'll we do with a live turkey?
Well, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, John, and I thought you'd murder him for dinner.
I'm not going to murder any turkeys. But if he lays a beak on my bourbon, I'll chop his head off. Blanche, you're the most impossible woman that ever lived.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. I guess everything I do is wrong. I'll go home and put the turkey out.
Now, wait a minute. Never mind. I didn't mean to holler. Let's go to sleep so I can feel good for the operation.
I don't think I want you to have it.
It's the least I can do for you. Keep you awake all these years with my snoring. And when Dr. Hershey gets through with me, I'll be as quiet as a mouse.
Well, if you stop snoring, I'll never wake you up, will I?
No.
And if I don't wake you up, we won't fight, will we?
That's right.
Well, that settles it. I'm not going to let him operate, John.
Why not?
It's the only chance I get to talk to you. Come on home.
Oh, I give up.
Now, we meet Fibber McGee and Molly in Fibber Has a Happy Face. One good thing about the Sunday papers, if you're a slow reader, they last all week. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, on a Tuesday afternoon, catching up with that little orphan Annie and that famous Dick Tracy, we find Mr. McGee of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh boy, is this rich. Hey, Molly. You ever read Chief Wahoo?
Who?
Wah.
Wahoo.
Yeah, Wahoo. Indian character in the funnies. Ha ha. He's got ideas to set aside 1 week a year for the braves to do all the work and give the wives a rest. See, old Moonface? That's Butterball's husband, he...
Oh, don't tell me, McGee. You know I like to read the funnies myself.
He's always, hey, here's an interesting article in the scientific section. Says, the way you feel is reflected in the way you look.
That's a startling discovery. Anybody who's ever owned a looking glass knows that.
That ain't the point. If it goes on to say, and I quote, the reverse is also true. If you look happy and healthy, you'll feel happy and healthy. Your body subconsciously reacts to your facial expressions.
I must be a pretty picture of womanhood just before I sneeze then.
No, the idea is that the way to feel good and be healthy is to act healthy and happy. Get your puss all fixed for it and your body reacts, see? Act happy all the time and you'll be happy all the time.
That, dear boy, is a lot of mulligatawny.
Eh?
The human race isn't built for it. Happiness should be taken in small doses. Nobody can be happy all the time. That's what makes the merry-go-round horses so glassy-eyed.
Personally, I think it's worth trying. I think I will try it. From now on, I'm going to smile my way through to life.
Go ahead, dearie. Be a happiness boy. At least it'll be easier on my nerves than it will be on your face.
Ah, you're a great kid, Molly. Always joshing me. You go ahead. Be a pessimist. I got happiness enough for both of us. Yes, sir. Happy-go-lucky McGee, that's me. I'll be the greatest little tonic for...
If that's the man to collect the installment on the piano, just tell him to look happy and he'll be happy. I'll run up and get the iodine.
I don't care who it is. I love everybody. Come in, come in, come in.
How do you do? I am Virginia.
Hiya, sis. Mighty happy to see you again. Yes, sir. Mighty happy. Just step in and get a load of the joy of living, sis. Make our house your home. We call it Contentment Cottage.
Since when, McGee?
Since just now, sis. You look kind of case-worn and worried. Don't feel like that. Be gay. Be cheerful. As you look, so you feel. Take me, for instance.
Yes, take him. And don't bring him back till he has a good grouch on. What was it you wanted, dearie?
Lady, I'm trying to sell magazines. I haven't sold a single subscription today. I'm tired and hungry and almost broke.
That's because you ain't got the right attitude, sis. Things will come your way if you only look cheerful. Yes, sir. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you'll ruin your beer. Ha ha. That's what I always says. And?
McGee.
Eh?
Give the lady $3 and order a magazine. We need some magazines.
But Molly, all her troubles are...
Don't tell me about her troubles. I've never seen any yet that hard cash wouldn't help more than a lot of soft words.
Well, okay. Here, sis. Here's $3. Now send us the Reader's Digest.
Yes, sir. And thank you very much. I'll just...
I like the Reader's Digest because I can read it in bed. And if I drop off to sleep, I know it ain't going to kill me if it falls on me. Ha ha. That's the way I look at things, sis. The cheerful side. Be cheerful and things will come your way. Did you see what she's done? Slap me with a batch of magazines?
You're just lucky she wasn't selling the Encyclopedia Britannica.
But after we helped her, my gosh, such ungratefulness.
Look, dearie, you can't pour happiness onto people like it was a pitcher of maple syrup.
Yeah, but...
If you want to laugh merrily and dance around on the lawn in your carefree abandon, it's nobody's business. But don't try to sell everybody else.
That's where you're wrong, Molly. The idea is to spread happiness, like throwing a rock in a river. The ripples spread. I'm going to be the rock.
Ah, yes, and somebody's going to throw you into the river.
Well, everything happens for the best. That's what I always say. Yes, sir. One minor setback.
Turn on the charm, dearie. Here comes another victim.
Ah, good, good, good. Everybody comes to see old happy-go-lucky McGee. I must do something to people.
Nothing that a little bicarbonate of soda wouldn't settle. Come in.
Oh, hello, kids. Oh, mind if I sit down a spell?
Of course not, Mr. Old-Timer. Sit right down.
Don't look so darn hearted, old sock. Cheer up. Snap out of it. What if the sky looks gray today? The gray skies bring the blue skies. Blue skies bring the sunshine.
And sunshine brings flowers, and flowers bring hay fever. So just skip the inspirational lecture, McGee. What's the matter, Mr. Oldtimer?
It's Bessie, kids.
Hey, Bessie?
Your girl? The one you're engaged to?
Yep. Bessie's threw me down. I've been jolted.
You mean jilted?
Yes, but it was a jilt with a jolt, daughter. Here I was, derby over britches in love. Never looked at another woman. Oh, well, maybe I looked now and then. But there I was, saving my money, taking Bessie to a movie 2 nights a week, always sending her a corset of violets.
Corsage.
Corsage. And what happens? She throws me over like a broken toy. That's what I am, kids. A broken toy. Passion's plaything. I'm desperate. I think I'll go home and hang myself. A carpet on the clothesline and wail the petunia out of it.
None of that, old timer. That's just self-pity. You gotta look for the silver lining. Nobody ever lost anything by being cheerful, my friend. Act happy, and you'll be happy. That's the stuff. What if you did get tossed over? What's a woman anyway? Remember what Kipling says? A rag, a bone, and 12 bobby pins. Ha ha! Just think. You might have got married to Bessie and then found out she leaves the cap off the toothpaste tube. Why, you don't know when you're well off.
Oh, it's no use, Johnny. My heart's busted. I gotta get me a job as a welder. Long as I'm carrying the torch, I might as well... Hey, who's that?
Who's who?
Where?
Going past the house out there.
Oh, that's some woman selling magazine subscriptions. She was just in here.
Say, she's kinda cute. And I just happened to think... My subscription to the American Boy expires next week. So long, kids. Hey there, baby. Wait a minute. I got a little proposition for you.
What did I tell you, Molly? My cheerful attitude gave him a new interest in life. He's a learn to look on the blue skies.
He has indeed. The hard way, too. Here he is. Flat on his back on the sidewalk.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, da-da-dee, da-da-da-dee, da-da. Hey, Molly.
Yes, Pollyanna.
We got any aspirin? I think I got a little neuralgia in my face.
You haven't any such thing, dearie.
I must have. My face aches all over.
Of course it does. You've been smiling that idiotic happy smile so long, your face has gone to sleep. And how I envy it.
Oh, well, if it's only a smile that causes it, everything's okay. If we never have any pain, we'll never appreciate our happiness. I always say, yes, sir.
Your happiness is going to be a beautiful thing to see when I tell you that Mrs. Uppington is just coming up the steps.
Uppington? Ah, there's a fine woman. I'm very fond of Mrs. Uppington. Yes, sir, rich or poor. There's some good in everybody, I always say. Hey, did you get a gander at that hat she's wearing? Where did she buy those monstrosities?
We'll never know. It's a millinery secret. Come in. Well, hello there, Abigail, darling. What a lovely surprise.
How do you do, my dear? And Mr. McGee?
Ah, there, my dear girl. And how are you this lovely, lovely afternoon? Ha ha. This is the life, isn't it the best? Surrounded by one's friends. Let us all join hands and sing something gay. Life is what you make it, I always say.
You keep that up and you'll never make it.
What do you think of life, Abigail, my dear girl? Do you agree with me that one should face the world with a shout or a laughter, with a carefree smile, and a merry quip? What do you think of life?
Life's a stench.
Why, Abigail, what on earth is the matter?
Everything is the matter, Mrs. McGee. I just had a fire in my kitchen, which burned up all my ration books. I ruined my last pair of nylons putting it out. And now the insurance company tells me my policy ran out last week. What, Mr. McGee, are you looking so happy about?
At this golden opportunity, dear girl, all these little things are but passing ripples on the stream of life. You must learn to shrug your pretty shoulders at little irritations. Be gay. Never let your face fall, and you'll never need to have it lifted, I always say.
Isn't it awful, Abigail? You've just had a few minutes of it. If I hear much more, I'm going to sit down and write a letter to Boris Karloff.
Let us look upon life as a great adventure, greeting each new experience with a cry of gladness. Let us enrich our souls with each passing moment, and string together the days of our years like precious pearls upon the silver strand of existence. What do you say, kid?
Mr. McGee, you don't know what this little talk has done for me.
What do you mean, Abigail?
I mean I hadn't realized until now how fortunate I was. After all, my ration books can be replaced, my kitchen can be repaired, and I can afford the loss.
That's the spirit, upbeat, I always say.
And furthermore, Mrs. McGee, when I get home, I shall wander about my house with a new appreciation, with tears of gladness in my eyes, that I don't have to live with a husband who dishes out such nauseating gobs of war motto hokum. Good day.
Well, I warned you, McGee. You scatter your sunshine so thick, everybody gets blistered.
Ah, that old pie plate. Hasn't welcomed the new thoughts since Gandhi started wearing a zoot sheath.
Well, maybe it'll teach you a lesson. As you always say, you can treasure this passing moment as one more precious slice of bologna in the lunchbox of life.
You know, Molly, I think I'll start writing a diary. From now on, my life is going to be so happy, so rich in values. It'll be an inspiration to everybody. Imagine a big life-size statue of me in the park. Dedicated to the happy-go-lucky McGee, the man who brought joy and happiness to millions.
How can they make a full-size statue when your philosophy is such a bust?
That's very good, my dear, very good. I shall mention it in my diary how much your humorous comments have meant to me in a life devoted to bringing cheer. And the only important thing in life is to be happy.
Personally, I'm getting a little tired of it already. I think I'll go upstairs and lie down a while.
Don't feel good, baby?
I feel fine, dearie. But all this happiness of yours has worn me out. Oh, permanent gaiety takes a strong constitution. I'll be down in a little while and...
There goes a good kid. What would life be without a little partner to share your joys and what would it be? You're right. Lum and Abner, it's a wonderful world. I never... Come in, neighbor, come in. Welcome to a house full of high hearts, high spirits.
Hi, mister.
Hi, sis. Mighty glad to see you.
Well, I just thought I'd...
I'm happy to see you, sis. You don't know what it means to old Uncle Fibber, to see a little face peeping up at me like a shy little woodland wildflower, yearning for a glimpse of the warm sunlight.
Are you kidding?
Certainly I'm not kidding. I've discovered the way to be healthy and contented is all. I read it in the Sunday paper. You see, sis, science has discovered if your face smiles, your body smiles. See? If you got a pain in your sawdust and your face wants to look nasty about it, don't let it. Put a grin on your puss and the pain goes away. You're happy. Ain't that wonderful?
Who'd you say discovered that, mister?
Science. What's so funny?
Oh, you're so naive, mister.
Eh?
Look, don't you realize a lot of that stuff is pure malarkey? Don't you know the editor says to somebody, give me 500 words of horse feathers on how to be cheerful?
Well, sis, I never...
Surely you are intelligent enough to know that there is no definite scientific evidence linking facial animation with the organic processes.
Well, gee whiz, I...
Look, you got it all backwards. A dog isn't happy because his tail is wagging. His tail is wagging because he's happy. According to your logic, salt and pepper taste good because you put a fried egg under him. Get wise to yourself, mister.
when you're smiling, and the whole what? Heffelfinger, Heffelfinger. Now, where did I know a guy named Heffelfinger? I wish I could.
What are you muttering about, McGee?
Heffelfinger. Did you hear me mention a guy named Heffelfinger?
No, I don't think so.
I bet the reason I can't remember, because there was something unpleasant about it. That's how my new philosophy works. You only remember the happy things.
Keep that up and you'll have a wonderful old age, dearie. You'll be scooting around in a combination wheelchair and good humor wagon.
Well, it's wonderful to be free of all worry and care. To think that just by putting on an expression of good cheer, the whole world looks brighter. Wasn't it Confucius who says, a man with a happy map will get somewhere?
It was either Confucius or the Hardware Journal. I don't quite...
Ah, another visitor. Another chance for me to spread a little happiness in this gloomy old world.
It would be easier to swallow if you didn't spread it on quite so thick. Come in! Oh, for goodness sakes! Dr. Gamble. Come in, Doctor.
Hiya, Doc. Sit down and take a load off your metatarsals.
Thanks. I will. How are you, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, I'm just fine, Doctor. And you?
Oh, I'm all right, much to my own surprise. I've spent such a nerve-wracking day with my prized collection of hypochondriacs, nature fakers, and capsule clutchers. I thought I'd stop in for a visit with a couple of comparatively healthy people.
What do you mean, comparatively? I'm the healthiest man in this town, Doc. And why? Because I've learned the secret of happiness. That's why.
Well, now, isn't that just dandy? You want to be in a glass case at the Smithsonian, McGee. You're a rare object.
Are all doctors as cynical as you, Doctor?
Why, I'm not cynical, Mrs. McGee. I'm a bright-eyed optimist. I still have childish faith in sometime meeting a human being who doesn't think his own hangnails are the medical sensation of the century.
Well, you don't have to look any further, Doc. You've met him. I'm it. I haven't got a pain or an ache or a complex. I'm happy and healthy. And I can lick my weight in wildflowers. I mean, wildcats.
Well, what are you grinning about? You look like a baby with the colic. Take off your shirt, McGee.
Oh, dear.
You can't make me mad, Doc. Nothing makes me mad. For the first time in my life, I'm under strict control. I've lost my temper for the last time.
He's been like this all day, Doctor.
You mean you've been continuously exposed to this one-man glee club? You'd better go to bed. I'll give you a sedative. As I was saying to a man named Heffelfinger the other day.
Heffelfinger?
Yes. You know him? He just moved out of town.
McGee thinks he knows him, but he can't place him.
I don't know why he can't place him. They've been playing pinochle together at the Elks for 2 years.
Oh, no, I got it. Heffelfinger, why that rat, that chiseler? He moved out of town without paying me the $6 he owes me. Why that dirty?
McGee, calm yourself.
Calm myself, my clavicle, of all the lowdown, miserable tricks.
McGee, stop kicking the lamp.
Oh, let him go, Mrs. McGee. He's been happy for several hours. Nobody can stand it for longer than that.
Heffelfinger, that double-crossing, two-timing, petty larceny pickpocket. Why does everything have to happen to me? I'll pay you next week, he says. See you at the club tomorrow, he says. Wait till I get my hands on him. I'll show him. Heffelfinger, of all the dirty, crooked...
Now, take it easy, McGee. Don't you want to be happy?
The only thing that'll make me happy is to get my hands on that nickel nursing hijacker. I'll slap him so Popeye's his pupils won't get back till September. Good night.
McGee!
Oh, good night.
That's better. Good night, all.
Here's our next funny couple in I'm Herbert.
Baltimore Orioles. Bubbly. Rose-breasted grosbeak. A black-billed cuckoo. Grace, I saw a black-billed cuckoo.
My name is Muriel, foolish old man.
I know your name is Muriel. That's what I called you.
You called me Grace. Grace was your first wife.
I called you Muriel. You're just hard of hearing and won't admit it. Grace, Grace, that's what I said.
There, you said it.
What?
Grace, you called me Grace.
Silly old woman, you call me Harry, but I call you Grace.
Can't you hear yourself?
What?
I said, can't you hear yourself?
Of course I can hear myself. It's you they can't hear. I say you call me Harry sometimes, your second husband, and sometimes George, your first.
I never did. You're saying that because you call me Grace and once in a while Mary.
You just don't hear.
Well, what's my name?
Silly question. Muriel. You're Muriel. Grace was my first wife. Mary was way long ago.
Mary was before Grace.
No, she wasn't.
She was.
How should you know who was my first wife? God damn it, woman.
Oh, that's safe. Just call me woman. We won't get confused then. It's not very flattering, but it's better than being called the names of your other wives. My name's Muriel. Your name's Harry.
Did you hear? You called me Harry. Pot calling the kettle black.
You got me confused, that's all. You always could mix me up. Back then, when we were going to Europe...
We never been to Europe. That was Harry.
You and I went to Europe.
We did not. Grace and I went to Europe on a honeymoon. That's when I had money, before women had taken it all.
Well, I've been to Europe with you.
You and Harry went to Europe.
I went to Europe with George, too.
Yes, well, I'm Herbert.
We've never been to Europe?
Singly, not together.
I think we have. You've forgotten.
I've got a perfectly good memory.
You can't even remember my name. You and I were in Venice together. You're ashamed to remember it because of the scandalous good time we had. You loved me then.
I didn't love you when you were in Venice, having a scandalous good time with whichever one it was, George or Harry. Which was it?
It was you.
I've never been to Venice in my life.
Yesterday you said you've never been to Chicago, and I proved you wrong on that. Your second daughter by your first wife died there. We went to the funeral.
Grace?
The daughter's name?
No, Grace's girl.
Grace wasn't your first wife. Mary was.
Were you there? I tell you, one was enough. Two was more than plenty. I don't know what got into me to try it a third time.
You were sick, and you were too tight to hire a nurse, so you married me.
I got well. Why didn't I kick you out? Now, don't cry. You know I don't mean it. You're always crying. Cried buckets at our son's wedding. Took on something awful.
We didn't have any children. And I don't cry. That was Mary. I'm Muriel.
It's no wonder I'm confused, which I'm not. But you all the time saying Mary, Grace, Muriel.
I'm just trying to straighten you out.
What difference does it make? I answer when you call me Bernie.
I never call you Bernie. I maybe once or twice called you Harry when I woke up sudden-like and didn't know where I was, but I never knew a Bernie.
Bernie.
Never heard of him.
He'd be pleased to hear that.
Well, who was he?
You were carrying on with him when I met you.
I was married to Harry when you met me.
And carrying on with Bernie. But he cleared out.
Well, that must have been Grace.
You were carrying on with?
No! Grace must have been carrying on with Bernie.
Grace wasn't married before. I was her first.
Well, not married. Carrying on.
She was married to Harry in carrying on with Bernie.
You said she wasn't married before.
You were. You were.
Oh. What day of the week is it?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, you can't remember anything anymore, senile old man. Bernie Walters.
That's him.
Who?
Bernie Walters.
I never heard of him.
You just said his name.
Well, you've been saying it here for an hour. I just repeated it.
You said Bernie Walters.
I said I never heard of him. And besides, I wasn't married to Harry when I met you. It was George. If I'd been married to Harry, I wouldn't have looked at you. Oh, fine, strapping man. May he rest in peace. Oh, what he did in Venice.
You see, it was Harry in Venice.
Of course it was Harry in Venice.
You said it was me.
You? You wouldn't have it in you to do a thing like that.
What? A thing like what?
Oh, don't be jealous of a dead man. I've done my best to forget him, George, like I promised when I married you.
I'm Herbert.
Do you keep repeating it so you won't forget who you are?
You called me George just now.
A hearing aid's a cheap thing.
See here, Grace.
I'm Muriel.
You talk about me. What about you? Muriel. I'm Muriel.
Cuckoo!
Where? Oh. I wouldn't call you Grace. Grace was soft and gentle and kind.
Well, why did you leave her then?
I didn't. She died.
Mary died. Your first wife. You got sick of Grace and left her and married me.
Left Grace for you?
Yes, you silly old man.
All wrong. Grace was my darling.
She drove you crazy.
My first love.
Mary.
Mary drove me crazy.
She was your first love. You told me about it often enough. The two of you young colts prancing around in the nude.
Mary?
Yes.
I never saw Mary naked. That was her trouble. Cold woman.
That was Grace.
Grace I saw naked. Oh, how naked. There was never anyone nakeder.
You can only be naked. You can't be more or less naked.
You didn't know Grace.
Mary. I did know Grace.
Naked?
Oh, you keep a civil tongue in your head.
I never saw you naked.
No, and not likely to. What'd be the point? You couldn't do anything about it.
Oh, that's what you think.
You married me at 70, and you were through then. Except for dreaming.
You're lying. We had some good goes together down by the beach.
Oh, you and I were never near a beach. And you were never near me in that way.
Old women forget. Forget the joys of the flesh. Why is that?
Why, don't forget Bernie.
Who?
Bernie Walters.
Never heard of him.
My second husband. I was married to him when Harry came along, but Harry went away and then you came along a long time after. Platonic marriage. That's what we've had, you and I, George. But it's all right.
Platonic under the willow tree that June?
What willow tree?
Oh, I've been good to you, Mary, for all your copying and your falling off in your old age. Because I remember that willow tree. Muriel never knew about it. We were wicked.
If I thought you knew what you were talking about, I'd get mad. But I know you're just babbling. Babbling Bernie. That's you. Herbert used to say, how can you listen to him babble?
I'm Herbert.
Well, if it makes you feel more secure, go on, keep reminding yourself.
You called me Bernie.
Oh, sure, and you've never been to Chicago.
I have so. I went there when my daughter died.
Well, I'm glad you admit it.
Why shouldn't I admit it? If so, you just try to confuse me. Bernie, Harry, George, Grace, Mary.
You started a long time ago slipping, only then you were more honest about it. Very touching. When we went to Florida, you gave me the tickets and said, Grace, my mind's slipping. Take care of the tickets.
Your name's Muriel.
Yes, yes, lovey, my name's Muriel.
You refer to yourself as Grace.
Oh, very likely, very likely.
You said I gave you the tickets to Florida and said, Grace, my mind is slipping.
Well, it was.
I've never been to Florida.
Oh, well, let's not go into it. The pongee suit.
I never owned a pongee suit.
Oh, well, you said it was the same suit you wore when you married Helen. And we had a long discussion about how ironic it was that you were wearing the same suit to run away with me.
Who's Helen?
Well, you were married to her, silly.
I was running away to Florida with you, and I was so old my mom was slipping, and I couldn't remember the tickets.
Lovey, you're running a lot of things that happened at different times together now. Maybe you should just sit quietly for a while, Harry, till you get straightened out.
My name is Herbert.
That's right. We'll start from there. You're Herbert, and I'm Grace.
You're Muriel.
That's right. Now let's just leave it at that, or you won't sleep tonight.
I always sleep.
Oh, a fortune for sleeping pills.
I never had one in my life.
You've never been to Chicago either.
Only because our daughter died there. We went to the funeral.
What? We did go to the funeral of our daughter.
But we had no children together.
I think we shouldn't talk any more now. You're getting confused.
You never let me near your lily white body.
Oh, and what about that afternoon under the willow tree? Oh, I think that's where we conceived Ralph.
Who is Ralph?
Ralph is your stepson. Good God.
I conceived my stepson under the willow tree.
I'd prefer it if we just remained quiet for a while. You can't follow a train of thought for more than a moment. It's very tiring trying to jump back and forth with you. Just close your eyes and rest. Are your eyes hurting you?
No.
Well, that medicine must be very good, then.
What medicine?
You see? That's what I mean.
I never had any medicine for my eyes.
Yes, all right. All right. Let's not argue, George.
I'm Harry.
Yes, yes, all right. We'll just hold hands here and try to doze a little and think of happier days.
Venice.
Yes. Oh, yes. Wasn't that lovely? You were so gallant, if slightly shocking.
The beach.
The willow tree.
You running around naked. Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Yes. Lovely.
We hope you've enjoyed our production of The Bickersons, Fibber McGee and Molly, and I'm Herbert, and had fun listening to our funny couples. This program was produced and directed by Julie Standrovich and Catherine Thornton. Tune in next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Radioactive Theater is a longtime feature program of Audio Journal, focusing often on giving its treatment to programs popular during what is called the Golden Age of Radio. The group also produces a variety of dramas, mysteries, and comedies. Speaking of the group, Radioactive Theater draws from more than 35 actors from various backgrounds, but many with theater and performing experience. Radioactive Theater has performed live shows for Audio Journal's fundraising efforts. The first was It's a Wonderful Life, based on the classic Christmas film, then Breaking Wind, a Sam Spade detective spoof on Red Wind, playing off the popular Breaking Bad. Next, Vintage Hitchcock, then Radio Days, and finally, You Can't Take It With You. All set in a mock-up of the Audio Journal studio. The newest production in 2021 is a live presentation of Spoon River Anthology, based on Edgar Lee Masters' collection of poems narrated by townsfolk buried in the local cemetery, to be performed at the Small Stones Festival of the Arts in Grafton. The pandemic has slowed down the production of new programs, but all are anxious to get going again, utilizing a second studio added this year. And as we say, stay tuned.